The lambs have passed through the gate. They are come to the killing floor.
Well, you're doing a great job out there.
By the numbers, man, you gotta start it off just right. So we'll talk to you later, okay?
Their blind eyes see nothing of the horrors to come. Their ears are stopped.
They're the gods' fools.
Well, that's how it works.
Cleanse them. Cleanse the world of their ignorance and sin. Bathe them in the crimson of... Am I on speakerphone?
No, absolutely not. Speakerphone, no. No, I wouldn't do that.
Yes, I am. I can hear the echo.
Oh, my God. You're right. Hang on one second. I'll take you off.
That's rude. I don't know who's in the room.
Fine. There. You're off.
Thank you. Don't take this lightly, boy. It wasn't all by your numbers. The fool nearly derailed the invocation with his insolence. The ancient ones see everything. And they will not be... I'm still on speakerphone, aren't I?
Oh, my God, Mordecai! I can't believe it.
It's been a hard day's night.
Well, hi and welcome to the Only Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Dave.
This is Douglas.
He's alive!
Oh, okay. Yes.
So, tell us, Douglas, we'll keep it a secret, we promise. How do you cure Ebola?
How do you eat?
I'm sure that's what it is.
I think it involves water, lots of water.
Virgin sacrifice.
I know that. 8 hours of sleep a night. And
I'm not being thirsty.
Yeah.
No.
Was the secret in Judd Apatow's Mrs. Fortune?
I don't know. I still have more.
You won't make it.
What I can tell you though is the secret. The secret definitely is in Heath Ledger's A Knight's Tale. I have watched that movie at least 5 times this week. Between that and Prince of Persia. Those two movies have been on repeat.
He just
on
stayed
cable.
In his room watching the cable. Just having the cable on.
Yeah, because
Knight's Tale
I had no... I was just like, listen, once I get in my bed, I'm going nowhere else. And in my bed, I have 2 options. 1, I can watch cable. Or 2, I can go to sleep. Mm-hmm. So... there's only so much sleep you can get.
You could rectify all of that by buying a wireless keyboard, like I told you, like 3 years ago.
No, you see, you know what happened to
then
me?
You could use XMC.
I understand that.
Position.
And since I haven't bought, my computer really hasn't changed for a long time. When I was deep into the computer changing business, I used to have a bunch of them, but I noticed that none... And probably at this point, they've fixed it, right? But none ever worked the way it needed to work.
That's probably true.
Right? The supposed range was always bullshit, right? They'd be like, 11 feet,
yeah.
12 feet, 100
yeah.
feet.
You can
it was
walk
always,
to half a tree and this shit will work.
Exactly. The range was always generally sitting in front of a computer to standing in front of
the
computer.
Of
there
kid.
Was no... Exactly. So at some point, I was just like,
here.
You know what?
And if you move
forget
fast
that.
Here, this shit is over.
Yeah, so I stopped that.
Yeah, and then
after a while, and yeah,
batteries.
The battery power, like that was ridiculous.
Logitech kind of rectified that a couple of years.
Yeah, so I
and I, was
I would almost
I
that
mine is special, but if it ever does break, I am buying another.
The only thing wireless that I have, I still have my wireless mouse, which I love. Which for some strange reason, I don't know why. Microsoft makes a lot of horrid things. They make a good
Microsoft
mouse.
Has always made great mouse and keyboards. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
And it's clearly, mine is on its last leg. The battery power keeps going down like so quickly, no matter
that's
how.
That's probably, like, that was probably built as part of the Excel team. There's no way the regular Windows guys
They're like, we build Office and we build
the guys
mouse.
In, the
mice.
In Microsoft Office went, we need a real ass keyboard and a real ass. We have work to do.
Exactly.
This is the Office division.
Exactly.
You don't get to make it this.
But
we get to make it.
Speaking of shitty products. We had a movie to watch tonight.
Oh, jeez. I was trying to... So... Let us talk around this forever.
So 2 weeks ago, it was Douglas's pick. And you know, guys, it's always a good episode when I start to point out who picked the movie.
Yep. Because there is clearly blame to be laid at somebody's feet.
Someone done fucked up.
And Douglas emailed us with his pick, stating, guys, we're going to watch this random movie from 2002 entitled Below. No, when I want no Damon. Damon, before we actually talk about this movie, I want a pre-movie feeling, right? Before you click on the IMDb link, before you just know the name, it's 2002. It's Below. What do you imagine this movie is in your mind?
No, like when I saw the thing, and like I actually hit the link on our site and went, "What in God's name is happening?" Like the poster does not inspire confidence. And that director also does not inspire confidence. I was just looking down the list of people and went, this won't end well, will it? But Douglas picked it. He must have had some good reason.
Damon, I said to myself, Damon, we've been doing this podcast for about 5 years now.
Yeah.
Some good reason. Really?
That's the lie I was telling myself. yeah, it's...
In the midst of war...
And the hull, boys. Sound good?
Yes, sir.
The crew of a U.S. submarine...
Hey, you're over steering.
Just getting some resistance, sir.
...is about to cross the line.
Accidents happen, right? Maybe someone doesn't want us to make it home.
Yeah, you have selected this movie.
Yeah.
It is entitled Below. Mm-hmm. It's directed by someone who I don't know. It involves a submarine.
Uh-huh.
And you obviously were the biggest fan in the 90s of the film Ghost Ship.
I remember that movie. Oh, that movie is bad.
I will give that movie one thing though. To this day, I still remember that opening scene of the line. This movie doesn't have that.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
But Douglas, tell us of your own ghost stories of watching the movie Below.
Well, I think I actually watched that movie way after when it came out. I think I watched it, you know, fairly recently, and I don't have any ghost stories. I just have, well, I guess you could call them horror stories of waking up at night, sweating and crying and sobbing, really, because I remember watching that movie. It wasn't a fun time. But yeah, so this movie, Below. It is a submarine movie. It is one of those movies where we are forced or we are asked to believe that, again, ghosts or specters or some sort of presence is involved, you know, some haunting of some sort, where, you know, this is one of those things where crazy shit happens. And there's no explanation, and they're all like, you know what? Ghosts. That makes sense to all of us. Okay. And it's not good. This movie is bad. But, as I said to Damien on the way up here,
right?
And I kind of... So, I have various levels of scales, right? And... depending on what mind frame I go into a movie with, I will apply the correct scale. You know, you have the real movie scale, you have the fucked up movie scale, and you have, say, the, let's call it the cable movie scale. Alright, after about 10 minutes, I realized, hold on, I can't use the real movie scale, because this is not a real movie. I then moved on to the cable movie scale, which this really is. This is like... this is, for me, one of those movies where maybe you're a little bit sick, maybe you're just tired, maybe your
Night's Tale was on before. Yeah,
exactly. And for some reason you're watching cable, you don't have anything else really to do. This movie pops on, why the fuck not? That's what this movie is to me, right? And for me, when we adjust for the cable movie variables, this movie.
The cable movie variables. Well, can we put that on our shirts? When we adjust for the cable movie variables, I want that to be an official Tom shirt. Yeah.
This movie adjusts from the shittiest movie ever made to average to a little bit below average. This movie, you know, at least for me, and I know that I'm always a little more forgiving than most folks, so you guys can talk. I know Damon is going to use the real movie scale, so I don't really want to listen to Damon. And I'm going to at least hope for my for my edification or whatever that Andrew is able to pull back and use. I don't know if Andrew has a cable movie scale, but maybe a not so film snobbish scale. Let's get somewhere in the middle there, some sort of compromise, Andrew. But for me, I watched it and I recognized it wasn't a good movie, but at the same time, there was no point when I was like, fuck this movie, I'm done. Right? This was, yeah,
I think you've won the game.
This movie, it was cable movie worthy in the sense that I was able to watch the whole way through without being sick, without, you know, throwing up or whatever. So this movie, it's bad, but it's watchable if you have absolutely no other choice and somebody has a gun to your head. All right.
I tell you, those are the that's a perfect scenario to watch any movie under.
Exactly. Plus
Toronto International Film Festival, we have figured out the perfect screening situation, and we ask you to fix your shit before we show up next year, because we're all showing up next year, hopefully.
and for those of us who are Guy Ritchie fans, I know that is probably a very small group given his latter projects, but for those of us who are at least early Guy Ritchie fans, you can take solace in the fact that 2 out of 4 of the Lock, Stock and the Smoking Barrel crew are in this. Both Soap and Tom, Fat Man Tom, are in this movie. That doesn't add anything, but sure, why not? I smiled when I saw them.
Wow.
So before we get to Damien, let me kick off by saying I agree with you, Douglas.
Okay.
You see, the thing about this movie,
if you point a gun at me,
that is not true. That is not true. If you point a gun at me, I will not sit through Das Boot again. I'd say
funny? Now that you say it, I remember I was also deathly ill,
and you
during
gave
that
up
movie
halfway
and I gave
through,
up, yeah.
And you didn't record that podcast. No, it was just me and Damien making jokes, and it was great. But yeah, this movie, I agree with you, Douglas. Like, it almost feels harsh for me to kind of criticize it as one of these movies that I actively try and watch and actively try and think of interestingly. I think it's just one of those run-of-the-mill movies where I'm unable to be angry at it, right? It exists, it's there, I know what it's there for, the people who made it know what it's there for, and we just don't need to talk about it, right? And there's nobody out there who's going to dispute any of those things, right? No one's going to come out and say, Ghost Ship Part 2, Under the Water, is my favorite movie of 2002, right? No one is going to talk about that. But at the very same time, it also means that this isn't a movie I want to talk about. It's something where, like how you said, I would have probably only seen it. And the worst part is, this is the best situation for us to talk about it. We watch this on Netflix, and that's the equivalent of your cable movie now, right? I do this so often where sometimes I come home from work and no one's around, so I turn on the Netflix and I just kind of, I don't know what I'm going to watch, and I just start scrolling through. And I'm like, that looks semi-interesting, press play. Or I know that actor, press play. And I watch crazy things. A couple of weeks ago, I watched this documentary called The Punk Singer, which I never even knew what it was about. It was just a 20-minute documentary. I'm like, I'll watch that. And it turned out to be something interesting, but at the same time, you'll end up watching some really mediocre...
Oh, is that the one about the Tigra?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some really mediocre movies like this. And I wouldn't have been angry at it if it wasn't for the fact that you asked me to watch it for this.
Yeah.
Right? If we had just scrolled through and we randomly picked it, we might have jumped out like half an hour in, going like, we know exactly what this movie is.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just like, eh. And you put me in a position where I have to talk about it. And I'm like... Anyone who's scrolling through Netflix, skip this one. It's not even worth the drunk version of sick that you are to sit through this movie. Unless you're actively watching it to make fun of it, right? It could be one of those movies.
Yeah.
It easily could be one of those movies. If like you have enough people around, there's enough alcohol in the room, and you're just laughing at shit. Because I was totally making Scooby-Doo jokes halfway through this movie.
All right.
So, Damien,
bring
your anger.
This movie is terrible. It's like, guys, I don't know.
Damien,
what
can't turn off the film snob.
Kind of. See, yeah, that's it.
That's the problem, you know.
Douglas.
And what's funny,
earlier
is he will say it like this, and then he'll watch shit like White House Down and be like, oh, it's the best movie.
All right. I've seen Godzilla like 18 times. I've watched Need for Speed again, because pretty cars.
Do you shout the Bugatti every time you watch it?
No. Everyone knows the Bugatti. It's not a Cars. That movie's terrible.
I haven't watched it. I'm ignoring it.
I love Cars. Like, love Cars. And every time I sit down and watch it, I have to fight off the urge
hold
to
on,
turn
hold on,
it
hold on, hold on. You said every time. So what's the count?
I've seen it 3 times.
What movie is this, sorry?
Need for Speed.
Wow.
All right,
like even as a car person, I can't bring myself to give
this
it a
the only
tone.
Thing
That's
I want.
So bad that
this
movie
is the only thing I want to know, which will push me over into actually trying to watch this movie. Do they make a Jesse Pinkman joke?
No, they don't even make a Need for Speed joke. They're playing Gran Turismo. The only time you see them playing a car game, they're playing Gran Turismo. So they didn't even have the balls to laugh at the Need for Speed.
Are they allowed to do that? Like, as a Need for Speed property, are they allowed to advertise?
You're going to put car games on the TV.
Games.
You might as well put the only one that matters.
I'm not disagreeing.
I thought it was hilarious. And then was reminded swiftly that this movie is terrible.
Anyways, below.
Right.
The torque of submarine movies.
Douglas said, if you are sick and you're watching cable... then this is a okay movie. Two things. I'm never sick. And I don't watch cable.
But Netflix is the equivalent, isn't it? Do you feel Netflix is
no,
the equivalent
it is not.
Of cable TV?
Because if I'm watching something on Netflix, I know if I hit a button, I'll be brought back to the menu where I can watch something better. There's no situation where Netflix is on. And I'm too far from the controller to change the station.
Remind him that if all else fails, Luther is still on Netflix.
Archer is still on Netflix. It's just a whole host of things.
It's been a while since I've watched through Archer again. I should do that again.
All the time at work, not doing anywhere. Just watching the worst, one of the world's worst work environments. I started watching this movie last week. And I was in the presence of our Commissioner Joel, who is really upset that he's going to have to watch Transformers, by the way, Douglas.
Whoa.
And
I told you already
was
that we have an arrangement.
Uh-huh.
You must watch that movie. You must grade that movie.
I understand.
You must come back here. And then,
if you are still
dissatisfied with the result of that conversation, you may go to the
conversation that we had. I'm just letting you know ahead of time.
You've already warned.
The commissioner is not pleased.
You put the commissioner
on notice. He's not pleased that he's going to have to watch a Transformers movie.
I doubt he will have to.
And he doesn't have any context for any of them because he's literally never seen one.
You haven't seen the first one?
Never seen it. He said the first time he saw Transformers on the TV, he opted to turn off the TV and go to bed. His woman. I sat at the... He was beside me and he looked over as a man fired a shot on a submarine and went, "That is the dumbest thing I've ever seen." That is the only thing he caught, by the way. He just looked up and was like, "David, what are you watching?" Like, to watch this shit. These idiots. And he just watched as that guy shot and he's like, "That is dumb." I don't know what happened. I don't know what the context is, but that is a dumb thing. And I sat there because there was no more football on. And I'd rather watch anything than watch cricket. Turns out I was wrong, because I'd rather watch cricket than finish watching this movie. It is awful. It is a dreadful waste of time. There's no story. The dialogue is terrible. The acting is terrible. It looks like the movie was made 100 years ago, before cinematography existed. There's actors in there that I can point and go, "I know him, I know her, I know all of these people," but it all comes back to the same thing. The story and dialogue is so atrocious that you keep staring at it, hoping that the movie essentially transforms into something else. But it doesn't. It goes from a shitty submarine story to a shitty submarine story with ghosts. Holy shit. Holy shit.
I think we found our second shirt of the day. Shitty submarine story to a shitty submarine story. What even?
And so it sounds shame. Like it sounds like Damien has kind of petered out on his
it's so
hatred.
Fucking terrible.
But what I want to at least point out, mm-hmm. I want to put on record
mm-hmm.
the reason, mm-hmm. my reasoning for picking this mm-hmm. movie, because I think it is fantastic.
I actually think he's lying about this reason, by the way.
Go to IMDb.
Yeah, you're right.
Ahead.
I didn't check that.
Go ahead. So this movie is written by one Darren.
Fuck it.
I am the man who makes great movies, Aronofsky.
As I told Douglas before we press play, I'm sure what happened was Darren Aronofsky and whoever else wrote this movie / directed it had lunch with them, and one afternoon he said, "You know, I really like to a submarine movie with ghosts." Right, and he just, that's all that he was involved with. Like, he just took that and said, "That's yours. Take that idea and enjoy."
You two,
and they had to give him credit.
You two haven't seen Winter's Tale yet, I must assume.
I jumped out 20 minutes in.
That movie explains how Aronofsky wrote this movie. There clearly is some secret underground in Hollywood.
Wait, did Aronofsky write Winter's Tale?
No. Okay. That forces great actors and directors and writers to do absolute garbage just once in a while, just to keep, you know, the yin and the yang.
Before the year is out, I'll force myself to actually watch that movie.
No,
but
just don't. I'm trying to save you. It's 2 hours.
So that's also what stopped me.
Dog.
That's also
dog.
People need to recognize that if they're making a bad movie, they need to make it short.
Yeah. There should be a, like, what Hollywood should do is once there's a consensus, everyone's like, "This movie is terrible," they should just put out a re-edit where it's just 60 minutes. Look, guys, you're not telling any story here. Let's just cut out as much as we can cut and put this out. It's Douglas, don't just don't lie to people. If you are sick and you only have cable, and this is the only thing on because by some miracle you've thrown away the remote,
and you're trapped under a...
Here's what you do. Take more pills and have them admit you to the hospital where you'll be able to get better TV programs. Do not watch this movie.
But what if when you get there,
mm-hmm.
they don't give you a remote?
It will be done by then. I mean, it's 80 hours long, but I'm pretty sure by the time the ambulance gets there and you're admitted, it should be over.
What if they're doing a marathon where they're just repeating it over and over?
That's kinda a war crime. I've actually looked it up. If you even try doing that on Netflix, like if it finishes and you hit play again, Netflix crashes. Impossible.
I mean, like, look at FXX right now, which is doing like 14 days of Simpsons right now. As we're recording, they're doing that. Imagine if someone decided to do that a week straight of just below on repeat.
Again, can't.
It's a war crime.
There's laws. That's why we have laws. To prevent things like that from happening.
Oh.
Like, you guys haven't said anything good about the movie. Do you guys realize that?
Yes, you're
like,
I know.
You have eyes. It's existing. You're like, you have eyes and time. that's an okay review for a movie. Hey, guys. You know how your eyes work and time moves in a linear fashion? You sit here and open them. It will end. That's not positive. Oh, this movie's like if I could give this a -1. Like, if we had picked this movie.
So, Damon.
Like, I'm petitioning to do it with us still. I'm going to give that movie a negative score.
So, Damon, let me ask you this question,
Jesus
right?
Jesus Christ.
All right, this movie is horrendous. Right? It is a war crime.
It really
that
is.
It exists.
It is
right?
Real bad.
I'd like to ask you this. Uh-huh. What is the moral, the lesson that we've learned uh-huh. as it relates to Douglas and Pickett movies?
We need to stop. Like, it's time. We just call a spade a spade.
Listen,
he's made good decisions. We're not going to take that away from him.
All right.
We're not. You didn't.
Yes,
I knew about Lahir way before you did.
Like, I mean, Douglas comes on to weird shit that works. Right?
He gets them right. We're not going to deny that.
Paper bag jellyfish.
And the last movie with the Phantom of the Music or whatever the hell that was that we all enjoyed for some weird reason. There's times he gets it right. The problem is, when he gets it wrong, there are times where you think he's trying to actively kill us.
Listen, let me just tell you. Mm-hmm. And I really shouldn't tell you because a magician never.
Oh, it's magic.
Just, but it is magic. Yeah. So.
Not he logic, does this that's intentionally
to fuck with us.
Like, he picks bad
exactly.
words on occasion just to fuck with us. I'm
just pulling a criterion, okay? So.
You should apply for a job here. Below criterion edition.
So, you guys can never tell. You're like,
oh no, I can't tell.
Is this really so? Is there something I've missed? Like a Double Life of Veronique. Is there something that I've missed?
Well,
that maybe this
you.
Is
how
a really good
dare
movie.
You bring up that Blu-ray in the carriage. Or it haunts me.
Like the ghosts of this movie.
Yeah, like the ghosts of this movie. Submarine ghosts.
This movie.
So
is
bad.
It weird that I slightly enjoyed looking at the actors in this movie and being like, this guy looks like a 90s actor who didn't make it past this stage. Like, he reached this far and something happened and he just didn't make it.
It's just weird because the movie doesn't look like it came from 2002. It looks way, way older. Just everything about this movie is not good at all. I hope they spent a boatload of money.
Some of those sequences
lost a boatload of
some
money.
Of the sequences
oh, they certainly
yeah.
didn't make any money on that because I've never heard of it. I hope everyone that was involved got fired. Like, you'll never work in this town again. Get up, fired. Just leave. Which is why Aronofsky now had to go through all of that shit to clear his name. So bad. It's so bad.
Dear Lowe. Production budget not known on Box Office Mojo. Can you guess domestic gross?
I'm going to guess about 600,000.
Fuck you for reading. $605,000.
I'm pretty sure it costs more than
that. Genre, period horror.
Oh, that's what it is. Word. Need to put that in. Put that down so whenever I see period and horror in anything, I go, I'm okay. I'm straight.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you something. I think you'll understand. When I say that something, I wanna hold your hand.
questions this week. 2 weeks ago, I was asking people, with Guardians of the Galaxy doing as much money as it did, and it looks like it's running it's away to be the number one of the year so far. It looks like it might get close to 300 by the end of the year, at the rate it's going.
300 only made 100, man. Ha ha! Swish! Alright.
It's only my work laptop. I don't. It's insured. I'm sure I can make up a story and get away with it.
I feel better.
I was asking people about their favorite comic book movies. Mm-hmm. And of course, we decided to remove
the Batman movies
from the list of possibles.
Don't say Batman.
And the internet responded.
Mm-hmm.
Howard
the Duck.
Isn't that your favorite?
Absolutely not. Did you guys ever... You've
yes,
seen that?
Yes,
I saw it when I was very young. I barely remember
it's like a nightmare.
That's crazy. So like, as with Andrew, I saw it when I was really young, but I have seen snippets recently, and I think because I don't have the full context of the full movie, that's why I still adore it, because what I'm watching is... Do you remember... I don't know his name, but do you guys remember Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Yeah.
And the principal from Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Right.
Well, he's also in Howard the Duck. He's some sort of... I assume he gets possessed, but he's some sort of evil bad guy person. And there is a scene in a diner or restaurant of some sort where he's just electrocuting the shit out of everything. And that scene is just like awesome 80s shitty nonsense. And I'm just like, yes, please.
Yeah.
So I've seen that and a couple other smaller scenes like that where I'm like, oh, yeah.
I remember when I was tired, I'm like, I'm not drunk and I'm not high. There's no way what is on the screen is actually on the screen. It is one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. I'll tell you that. Right, so you said the internet answer.
The internet responded. Shane McNeil from Toronto responded with the vivaciously vendetta, V for Vendetta.
I fucked that joke up.
I couldn't do it. Like, I hesitated. Yeah. I kind of stammered in there and I fucked it up. V for Vendetta.
Yeah, that was a comic book.
Yes, it was. And I actually remember reading that comic book. I quite like that comic book.
I enjoyed that movie. I haven't seen it in a long ass time.
Kevin Ketchum, as well as Ryan McNeil, responded with the similar of Road to Perdition, which I actually didn't know was a comic book. I didn't know that was a comic book. I love that movie.
Fun times.
Joe Hill at Multiplex Rant responded with American Splendor, but it's really probably Watchmen. I actually remember I tried to watch American Splendor, and like I clocked out somewhere half an hour, you know, just never went back.
I can't do this.
Peter Labuza from the Cinephiliacs responded with Ghost World, a movie we've talked about on this podcast so long ago.
Oh lord.
You remember that movie?
Yeah. It is
Wait,
on
did we
good.
Have to watch it for that? For this podcast?
Yes we did.
Yeah,
you made me watch that movie a second time.
That was so long ago. I think it might have been in our first year of doing this.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. We all came here and just
and murdered me.
Yep.
What
because I remember watching that in at college and being like, not for me.
Like, internet fell in love with this movie for a reason. But I can't see any.
But don't worry, a few weeks later, Douglas made us watch Welcome to the Dollhouse. So you kind of evened it off.
Douglas has made us watch.
People love that movie.
People love Ghost World.
I know.
They're bad people.
Yeah.
Luke Irving, at the Luke Irving, responded saying that more than likely Iron Man, but currently he's thinking about Guardians of the Galaxy and how he likes it more than Avengers. And
is
considering Guardians of the Galaxy for that spot.
Yeah. In my rankings, it is
comic books or just
no
Marvel.
Marvel. It is the latest Captain America. It is Guardians, and then it is Avengers. Although I know that one, like the hour chunk in Avengers, where they're just murdering shit. It's just like, I'll watch if it was just that, which
that would be number one.
Most of the times that I watch that movie, it is just that. That would be number one, because there's just so much crazy shit happening, and there's just a smile on my face the entire time. But this, like the Captain America movie that they just put out, is probably the only good story they've told, because all the rest of them are just so dumb. And Guardians is fun. I've only seen it once, so it's unfair, but that's what I feel like. I feel like I like it better than Avengers, because it too is a lot, just a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad they're making them, because for a while there,
they kind of stalled out.
There,
Thor 2 there didn't help their case though.
Iron Man 2 didn't help.
Actually,
Thor 2 don't look at me. I don't want to hear any defense of Iron Man 2 or 3 at this point.
Hey,
your parents. Alright, it was a real. And then they're like, Avengers! And then immediately after Avengers, they're like, this is the worst thing we've ever done. Just pretend Thor 2 doesn't exist. I'm like, this is not going to end well. But they put out 2 solid movies this year. So I'm back on board. I enjoyed the first one, man. It was the first one. I haven't seen it in such a long time.
Last time I saw that was like...
But just don't rewatch for some reason.
I think it was around Avengers was the last time I watched that movie.
I remember people watching all of them to get ready for Avengers. I just looked at them like, why are you doing this to yourselves? You don't have to do this. No one cares.
At Doug Tilly responded with Old Boy. I'm guessing the Korean version.
All right.
Slash.
I am changing my right now.
And or Danger Diabolique, which I don't know, and I'm IMDb'd it.
I know that
it's a movie from 1968, and the synopsis in IMDb says, "Faye super thief Diabolique runs around stealing jewels, gold, murdering innocent people, and being a nuisance to the government of a generic European country."
All right,
this movie sounds fantastic.
That sounds like the next.
I was about to say that's my next pick. Nobody's picking it.
Sounds like I
don't know if they're allowed if Japan didn't sue them for stealing Lupin storyline. Because I love all of the Lupin movies and TV shows.
I tried with Lupin.
I enjoy it. It's like it's like a weird version of a thief version of James Bond. I enjoy the shit out of it.
I think by the time Lupin hit, I had decided that me and Japanese cartoons had to go our separate ways. I can't do this anymore.
Lupin is one of the few which I still stick with. Like, I know I haven't seen every piece of it, because you know those people over there, they make a lot. But whenever I do, like, see something, like, I think there was a series that started, like, 2 years ago, and I caught it, and I just watched through it. And it's not something that I'd recommend to everyone, but it's really interesting. I watched the original series of it, which Miyazaki did, and a good amount of the movies, but...
What's that one with the stretchy guy on the pirate ship?
That's One Piece.
Yeah.
I watched that for a long time.
I remember we were in college.
Yes. We watched a lot of anime.
I remember someone rolling up to me and they're like, Damon, you have to watch One Piece. Because I think we were watching Bleach at the time or something. And I went home and I'm like, all right, let's try this. And I sat there and I'm like, nope, I can't do this anymore. I'm tired of all these stories.
Let me explain. You see, I'm there now, and there are a few things which still catch me, right? But you have to understand what kind of annoys me now is that because I've decided to be a software developer, everyone I meet up being a software developer are super into anime still, right? Uh-huh. I'm in my office, and they're still debating Bleach.
No one watches football, but they all watch anime. That sounds like a terrific time.
Every week they come in, and they're still debating Bleach. And the best part about it is I was talking to him about comics. And because I'm slightly starting to get back into comics again, American comics. I tell them about the new Hawkeye series by Matt Fraction. And I show them it. And they look at it and they're like, the style looks too old. I don't want to read it. And I want to get angry.
Right? The visual style of it looks too old. I don't want to read it.
You should have been angry when they don't want sports.
I already got angry at that, but I moved past that one. Right? I got over it. It took a little while, especially because the World Cup was about to happen. Right? It took a little while, but I got over it. Right?
And they just keep coming back with more and more things.
Anyways, back to the question sheet. And my favorite response of the week gone by comes from Bubba Wheat from Flights, Tights, and Movie Nights, because I still love saying that site name. His response was Snowpiercer. And Persepolis, saying that's another great choice for best comic book movie. You're still angry at Persepolis. Snowpiercer, you love Snowpiercer.
I like that movie.
I actually should rewatch that movie. Like, everyone's talking about it so much that I'm like, I should give it one more shot.
I like it a lot.
Is there like a shorter version that you saw where it isn't
so crushingly depressing and foreboding at the start?
But like, showing his hand up front. Like, that kind of stuff doesn't generally get me. But for some reason, I did not like that movie.
Like, it's one of those things. As I told to Damien when he was asking me about it before he saw it. The thing about it is that all of the commentary part of it, all of the ham-fisted is also telegraphed in the movie.
Yeah.
That by, like, when they get to the end where they're basically explaining to anyone who didn't get it, I'm just annoyed. Yeah, because like, I figured this out already. Can we please skip this part?
We'd like to think that you're a smart audience, but just in case.
And
this is what all of this meant.
And all of the pretty parts never really got to me. All of the pretty and the action parts felt very lazy to me somewhat. Like, the moment in that movie which I will hold on to and I will love is when they reach the school path of the train. Right? That part is amazing.
It's pretty good.
Right? But everything else, the twist-turn elements of it, are all kind of boring to me. Like, because
I, as I've said many, many times, I like movies about the apocalypse. So, it already started off with high marks because the world had ended. So I just wanted them to explain how and the why.
Like, even,
and then just move on.
Even the shoe speech at the beginning, which people are going on about. Like, it's one of those moments where in movies, if you pull it off, it's amazing. But 3 minutes into a 10-minute speech, it's probably like five. Like, I'm already like, I get where we're going. Can we skip this and move forward?
I mean, Tilda Swinton alone gets that movie. Like if I was judging it just, you know, trying to be unbiased or whatever, that movie would be a 2 because of her performance alone. She's incredible in the movie. She's so creepy and so unsettling. And, like, I think I finally found the actress that I like more than Meryl Streep. It took a long time, but I think she wins. I think she's better than Meryl Streep. For me. I mean, she's been in better movies of late. That's for God, in Meryl Streep.
Have you seen the vampire movie yet?
Only Love Us the Fella. Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah, that
incredible.
Awesome.
Once again, she's in, like, she out-acts, what's his face? What's his name?
Yeah.
Loki.
Yeah. Tom Hiddleston?
Yeah.
Is that
like, there's points where the gap between her talent and his talent is just, you're like, holy shit. She's acting. You are not. You're standing there being pretty, but she is acting circles around you. But that's probably true about she and almost anybody. She's incredible. Phenomenal actress.
So Andrew, what's your favorite comic book movie? Right.
Can I say Scott Pilgrim? Does that count?
Sure, you're wrong, but sure. Douglas, what's yours?
Well,
don't say Iron Man.
No, it's not Iron Man. Of course, Kenshin is always the best, right?
Fuck that movie.
No.
Oh.
You do not... Listen, Kenshin, they
were talking about
ages ago.
We can't, nope.
All right.
But either way...
I know that's what he was talking about, and the answer is no.
No, that is
we're
a yes. That is a movie.
Not giving you that.
Anyway, but just to be... Just to be...
All right, if cartoons count... Can I pick Castle of Cagliostro?
I said
fun movie.
Do not
count.
Just to be different though, could we talk about a movie like, say, a movie that he loves, A History of Violence?
Oh, I love that movie. Like, I still Like, I was surprised when I found out that was a comic book, and I still haven't gone to read that comic book. I should probably find it and give it a read. But I love that movie. And I thought you didn't like the movie because of your usual William Hurt bias.
I know, right?
He just appears at the end, and you go like, "Oh, this movie's worse now."
But the movie is good. I have to give it that. And well, I guess you know what? Can we just talk about? So my favorite, comic book movie. Just off of the strength of the comic, not necessarily the existence of the movie.
Alright.
Is Preacher? Can we just say that?
Alright.
So the best comic Preacher movie also. That isn't a movie yet. Preacher.
I'm pretty sure it's called
your
somewhere.
Favorite comic book. I think this is what it's called, your favorite comic book.
I'm pretty sure that was the question. Mine will always be 300. I will never, ever not love that movie. It's like it's so macho, it's so stupid, and it's just like when you watch that movie and you look at the comic book, you're like, I don't know how they managed to squeeze this comic book onto the film, because it's perfect, like frame for frame, so much shit, and the action is
I think is one
impressive.
Of the most faithful comic books
it
that I've seen made into a movie.
Impressive how good.
Not that that's important, but
remember when people lost their shit because they changed the Watchmen ending?
And that is a fantastic comic book movie.
There's people that do not, to this day, do not like anything about that movie.
Do you know who those
and
people
I think
are?
Those people are crazy people.
And also my coworkers.
You fit a bang of play store. So.
I need to stop being a software developer. Can you guys get me a job doing like something normal, like pushing paper? Like I'm sure there'll be people who don't argue about Bleach. Pushing paper.
They'll argue about other dumb shit, but you won't care. You have anything to add to the conversation? It's just be white noise, like at my workplace. Cartel in what? Oh, that's terrific news. I don't have any context what you're talking about, so. Comic book movies. Like, I saw the chart, like, they put out some chart where they're like up until 2020. Like, how many movies are going to come out every year from each side, both DC and Marvel?
Yeah.
There's like 40 of them in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
Can I nominate Ant-Man? Because it's Ant-Man.
Well,
even
Ant-Man's
it's
coming out in 15 next year.
He's not involved.
No,
but I'm imagining
involved.
It'll still be good. Because I think an Ant-Man movie can be good.
I think at this point they've proven that almost all comic book movies can be good if you put the right people around it and you set correct expectations. Like, when they were making those Fantastic Four movies, and I'm still baffled how we've not gotten a truly superb Hulk movie. Like,
I was under the impression that both you fools thought the last
the
one
Incredible
was
Hulk
superb.
I love that movie. But, given what we've seen since, you have to readjust where that movie falls.
So what you're saying is that...
At the time...
Are you saying that?
At the time,
are you saying
not
then
saying
that
I'm
based,
is
no, that based on... No. Are you saying then that based on my original position, I was ahead of my time?
I'm saying that based on your original position, you are wrong. Because you still think Iron Man is better.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm not saying that the Hulk was bad. I like the Hulk, but not like the way
Harry
that lies, you
Harry
like the
where I changed 2008 versus today as it comes to Iron Man versus Incredible Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
I think Iron Man is a better developed character in that movie.
Yeah.
Because I watch that movie again, like as we go along, and I get more and more into how they play with character. I think Hulk is a better superhero movie where they're actually it's making the progression of everything that happens makes a lot more quote unquote sense.
That
and
movie
it actually is exciting as it's progressing.
The Iron
With
Man
Iron
movie.
Man, when you get to that end and you have Jeff Bridges just appears.
Oh my god!
Like it's kind of
Lord.
It's just the worst.
The Iron Man movie was a good origin story. the Hulk movie was not. They weren't telling any backstory. Like, right. They told that shit in the credit, in the opening credits. And then they're like, we're going to hit the action button and we're going to sit here for about an hour.
No, that's why I wanted to drag on talking about comic books and shit.
That's all we're going to talk about. There's
one, only, since we're talking about this, one thing I heard which kind of excited me, and of course this comes out of movie news shit, which can be untrue or whatever. I was listening to Devin Farachi talk on a podcast the other day, and he was talking about the fact that he had heard from multiple sources, and I tend to trust his quote-unquote scoop news kind of stuff, because they tend to work out. Says that Marvel as a company has decided, now that they've reached this far in film production of all of their properties, that they are more or less, for the most part, skipping origin stories from now on. So any property we see coming out, that they're done with origin.
Mm-hmm.
So Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, we're going to jump in the middle and enjoy. And that excites me.
Yeah,
but I don't know Doctor Strange.
You don't care. Let me just catch you up.
I know the pictures.
Let me catch you up with all these comic books. You don't care.
Yeah.
No one gives that.
It's sad how many comics I read when I was young and how little I know of all of these comics that, you know, everybody's such a nerd over. You know, it's weird.
Because comics are stupid.
Just as stupid as movies.
Yeah. Because I read a fair amount of comic books, you know, but I guess I didn't stray far from the mainstream, I suppose. So, like, Green Lantern, some Captain America,
where would
some
you have
Superman
gone
kind of
to
shit.
Get Strange and far
but
no, even
we
don't
like,
know.
But even things like Doctor Strange, which I think is associated with fairly mainstream, I'm just like,
yeah,
I kind of know something about him.
Yeah, but like those weren't big enough to be in regular rotation here. Like, where do you have gone to buy a Doctor Strange comic?
I remember it got to the point where our father used to have a mailing subscription directly from Marvel, so we would get it in the mail.
But of course,
it would be just what he wanted. So it would be like just Spider-Man, Captain America.
But even before
like
then, I know about characters like Shazam. You know who Shazam is? He's a guy who like he connects to arms,
and he's a dick.
he's a regular guy who can. He has two arm bracelets. When if he connects it. It's not that he becomes a superhero, or from my memory, he doesn't become a superhero. What it is there is a superhero in, like, another world that's waiting for him to connect those bracelets.
Word.
So they can switch, and he can be a superhero. And then the superhero connects bracelets, and they switch again. Or something
are they
like
just,
that. Like,
on the other end, is the guy just sitting on in a room just waiting? Or do they live a life?
He's just
I
doing
guess.
His taxes.
Or at least that's, and I'm not
he
saying.
Switches, do my taxes
exactly.
for
yeah.
Do my taxes for
yeah.
work.
And that's not
you
necessarily what
guys.
It is, but that's at least how I remember it from my, like, drunk baby.
Well,
self.
I mean, but like.
Fill
you
out
know.
These forms.
There are lots of
Prime.
Television shit that we used to care a lot
yes,
about that I barely remember.
Do you remember right. we used to watch this on Sci-Fi? You remember like there was probably like a 60s or 70s Spider-Man TV show
yeah.
and things like that.
You guys live weird lives.
Yeah.
I was outside playing football.
Yeah. There you go.
But
that's why me and Andrew aren't necessarily the fittest of folks.
Yeah, I'm super fit, right?
Did that until around age 12 and then all my friends left me. They're like,
aww.
We don't care about you anymore.
Aww.
Anyways, moving on. I don't think I've actually said this because we got derailed into all this comic book conversation. But question for the week to come. Since Douglas has below in my head, I want to ask you guys about what you consider to be the most underappreciated ghost story out there in movies.
Scooby-Doo.
Oh yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman. Wait, hey, 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 Mr. Postman. Mr. Postman, look and see. Oh yeah, back for me, please, Mr. Postman. Oh yeah. There must be some modern day for my girlfriend.
Well.
Looks good.
I like it. Nice.
Yeah, I like it better than you realize.
Much better.
What do you say, Toby?
The truth.
Looks like shit.
That's why I love children, no guile. It does look like shit. And it feels like cold shit.
Deacon?
So moving to our top five, which I'm going to find intriguing if we can find 15 films to talk about. As Douglas made us watch a shitty movie, he's asked us to list shitty movies as we talk about our top five favorite submarine movies we would watch on cable.
Okay.
Which, first of all, Damien doesn't have anything to do with this list because he doesn't watch cable. But... I'm going to ask Damien to start off because he doesn't have a list.
Fair enough. My first movie is Bear Fist.
All right, hold on. I need you because I think I know where you're going with this.
Yes.
But I need you to explain.
In Bear Fist, there is a point where the Germans are coming to spy on the Americans.
Uh-huh.
And they have my friend from Das Boot in a submarine spying. It is my number five.
I knew it was going with Das Boot, but I thought you're gonna go with they drink from a boot and they call it Das Boot, which is the name of a submarine movie.
Nope.
Okay, fine.
Actually, a submarine
if,
there.
If that's where we're going from, well, so Bad Mind is always active on this podcast.
No, it's not. We are a very nice set of people,
and
oh Lord.
I know a movie that has to be on Andrew's list.
Because we talked about it during this movie.
And
so let me just check it off before
I'm
he says
just
it.
Being an asshole. So my number five is the wonderful, the horrible, the for some reason loved by both Douglas and Andrew.
Because we saw it at the right age.
Submarine,
and we haven't seen it since.
Comedy movie by the name of Down Periscope.
So, Douglas thinks he's won this game.
Oh, I have not. I know I haven't.
Damon, do you get that feeling? Like,
yeah.
Just by saying that, he feels like he's won. But I'm about to counter him.
Okay, let's
right?
go. Let's see.
Because
this.
I have an equally horrible movie.
Uh-huh.
Which, some would debate, isn't a submarine movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying fuck that submarine part. And I'm just kind of going all naval.
Oh, nice. I was thinking about using this one, but technically there are no submarines in this movie, and that's why I never put it on my list. But go ahead.
I think, if I'm correct in remembering, I think the villain has a submarine.
No, he has a PT... I searched it because I really wanted to put it on my list. It is a PT-7 boat or something like that. But go ahead, take it.
My number five
Tom
is
Arnold.
The wonderful, shitty Tom Arnold movie with Tim Curry. It is McHale's Navy. Now, David, if I could pick a movie that Douglas and I watched on repeat on cable in the 90s more, I don't think I could.
Andrew,
right?
Let me shake your hand. You just won. You won this top five.
I'm glad I didn't know you guys.
You didn't know us then.
Never spoken to you. Every time I go over there, they just watch shitty movies, mommy. It's terrible they don't watch Rambo.
Our parents would allow it. They come down to you making us watch Rambo and they kick you out to the house and tell us that you are a bad influence on us.
Just watch garbage.
Because McHale's Navy is a gem, right?
Yeah, let's call it that. I've actually seen the first one, Down Periscope, never seen it. I have seen McHale's Navy.
Listen, Bruce Campbell is in McHale's Navy. It's great. What I loved most about that movie wasn't the movie. It was reading Bruce Campbell's subsequent books. And in his first book, he actually... And it's always difficult to kind of gauge how much of his writing is real versus fake, because I think he makes up a lot. But it's entertaining, which is wonderful. And where, but this I believe is real, where he talks about being on the set for McHale's Navy. And... Because mainly this movie is Tom Arnold, but a lot of the cast is just all over the place. And he spoke about how they made it into almost like a contest of how many scenes can you get to be behind Tom Arnold's shoulder in, right? You know, how many scenes can you be in the background doing foolishness? And that's just... hilarious, but yeah.
My number four is X-Men First Class.
Because there's a submarine.
That he does lift his submarine out of the water. That is a fact.
You realize we're not necessarily going with good movies, right?
And that is why I have started with the two best movies. Okay, alright, fine. Because right, cool. This is going in reverse order.
Okay.
From actual good movies to absolute garbage movies.
Cool. So
I think I'm going to eat a couple of good movies when I get to the top.
Yeah, I have a mixture of good and bad movies. But my next movie, I'm going to talk about... My next movie is a pretty bad movie. But it's definitely one of those movies that you watch on cable. And it is by a guy who we're going to talk a lot about today, I think. Or starring a guy who we'll talk a lot about today. And it is The League. A League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Dirtbag.
With Sean Connery and a bunch. Actually, Tom is in this movie as well.
He is Dr. Jekyll.
Yes.
And
this movie is horrible.
Yes,
but
it is.
But for some reason, I don't know why, I think it still caught me at like the right time where I do remember thinking it was bad, but at the same time thinking, but it's kind of, yeah, I could watch this.
I actually rewatched that movie like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It came up like on a Netflix kind of deal, and I was like, I haven't seen this movie since I was 13, and I thought it was pretty good then. Let me watch it. I know everyone hates it,
yeah.
And I agree, that movie is borderline a war crime.
That girl from Nikita was in there.
Oh yeah.
So my number four comes from a true auteur. A filmmaker we adore, and I'm not being facetious about this. Like, I mean this.
This is on my list as well. Thank
Steven
you, Andrew.
Spielberg made this.
Oh,
movie.
Oh no! Awesome.
Right? And it is
Jurassic
the
Park.
Movie that everyone hates the most from him. Right?
War Horse.
It is 1941.
Oh, right? Okay.
Have you guys ever seen 1941?
I think I've seen bits and pieces.
Yeah. I have seen this movie on cable. A few times. It's a movie that I am dying to rewatch.
Is this the one that stars John Belushi?
Yes.
Yes, I've seen a
little and a lot of it involves an individual. I believe, if I'm correct, it's a guy who was in Doctor Strangelove, who was the pilot of the ship, the plane, and he actually went down with the bomb at the end.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know his name, but I just know him as that character, right, and that voice. He's in this movie. Where a Japanese submarine captures him in order for him to give them coordinates to California so they can blow up California because the Japanese are trying to make a sneak attack. The movie is insanity in itself, and I kind of want to watch it again because I haven't seen it since I was a teenager and I used to watch it on cable. It used to come on. And it's just one of those movies which I know a lot of people hate, and I remember enjoying it to some effect at that age.
I assume it's my turn.
Yep.
Despicable Me 2.
There is a submarine.
Oh my goodness.
Once again.
let's just continue.
I like that movie.
I like that movie.
That movie's not bad.
I'll watch it on cable.
Anyway, I don't want us to talk about
if you have cable
anymore.
No, I haven't.
If
just never going
if you
to
actually watch cable.
Why would I do that?
So my next movie has nothing to do with anything that I was talking about before. Mm. But it's a movie that I really do enjoy. So this is not necessarily a cable thing. But it's definitely a movie that generally I don't own. And it's one of those movies where if I catch it, I'm like, ooh, yes, please. And it's one of those movies where I know a lot of people don't like it for some reason. And I have to try and defend it, including, I think, you assholes. And it's directed by I Am Mr. Blockbuster, James Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
It is called The Abyss.
Taking that off the list.
I actually don't think I've seen that movie.
Really?
Hey,
what?
It's terrible.
It's great.
I want you to imagine the movie we saw today, but 19 times worse.
It's submarines and aliens. How can you not like that movie?
With the alien worm at the bottom of the ocean. Do you know there's a lot of action at the bottom of the ocean? What's that? No, there isn't? Well, this movie will guarantee that you are well on track. If you have insomnia, I'll have a movie for you. It is terrible, is what that movie is. You're wrong. I was going to put that at the top of my list because this is the worst.
So we're at number three now.
No.
Yes, we're.
Are we at number two now? Oh wait, you're at number three, and he's
when we rolled back to you, were at two.
Yeah.
My number three is a movie from 1977, and the synopsis for this movie on IMDb is as I go: a spy investigates the hijacking of a British and Russian submarines carrying nuclear warheads with the help of the of a KGB agent whose lover he killed. This was directed by Lewis Gilbert and starred Roger Moore, as it is entitled The Spy Who Loved Me. If there's anything that we all agree we will always watch on cable, no matter how good or bad it is James Bond movies. And The Spy Who Killed Me kind of falls right slap dab in the middle there. Roger Moore is probably my third favorite James Bond.
I don't keep track anymore.
Because, I mean, at this point, Daniel Craig and...
There's one James Bond.
And Sean Connery kind of win. They're tied for number one. Daniel Craig. They're tied for number one. Right?
Sean Connery was never in a good movie. He was in a lot of James Bond movies. He's never in a good movie.
From Russia with Love?
It's not a good movie.
Are you...
It's not a good movie. I will fight you to death.
Is the host of a show allowed to quit?
Listen, the host of a podcast alone. We've had this discussion several times. There are 22 James Bond movies. There are only two good ones. There are only two real movies. Daniel Craig stars both of them. So I don't know how you know how magically conjured up Sean Connery and From Russia with Love to be. It is a fantastic James Bond movie.
Andrew,
it is not great.
Just let him finish.
Right.
And we can delete just edit this out
and bury his body in the back.
Lock the door next week so he can't come in.
Bury him. You see, I should classify this like the Bleach comments at work. I should just be angry to myself and move on.
Yes,
Andrew, I love James Bond more than most people, but I'm not going to lie to myself and tell myself, "Oh, it's terrific cinema." That movie. First of all, that movie is so like at points mind-bendingly sexist.
Most of those movies are.
I think all
most of those movies are.
Yeah, but that one it's takes it to some...
I don't even think the modern James Bond movies have gotten out of that rut.
Yeah, but it's less so than that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of the dialogue in that movie also ain't great. So let us calm down. I understand.
Because you know what I can do with my little finger. Oh, my God.
Alright. It's my turn, right?
Yes, it is.
Sticking with the James Bond theme. Fuck. The world is not enough.
Okay, go.
Yes, there were a lot of submarines in James Bond movies.
Every James Bond.
That's true.
How about every James Bond?
The world is not enough. Which one is that again?
Is that the newspaper
Brosnan with the newspapers?
That's the newspaper one.
Okay. Anyway, back to our friend old Big Daddy Sean Connery. Trust me, he's popping up on my list a lot.
Yep.
Is there
a hunt and a red apple?
There is a hunt and there is a red and there is a late autumn month.
I tried to watch this movie for the first time like about a week ago.
Seriously?
And I fell asleep 20 minutes
in. Andrew. No, as...
I have not seen Jack Ryan movies. Like, other than, I think, the Ben Affleck one that came out in the 90s and the one that happened this year, I haven't seen
them.
That's
sad because all of those movies, for some reason, they're very 90s, but they're just great. I love those movies. This one in particular is probably my favorite. And it's, again, it's not a movie that I own. It's not one that I necessarily feel the urge to go out and buy. But if it ever shows up on TV... I'm down, right? The Hunt for the Red October is great. And it is one of the few that... So, Harrison Ford is known for a bunch of things, right? He is Han Solo. He is Indiana Jones. But to a lesser degree, but still as equally potent and cultish is Jack Ryan. Harrison Ford is to many people, Jack Ryan.
That's why so many people are upset when they named Chris Pine.
Yeah, but and Ben Affleck. Yeah.
Don't do this.
but for some reason, this is a Jack Ryan movie,
but it's not Harrison Ford. This is Alec Baldwin playing her, Jack Ryan.
Yeah, I got that far.
Yeah. And it's just great. It's, again, it's 90s. It's not, you know, a good movie, but it's an enjoyable movie. It's a movie that you watch and...
If you grew up
it's
in the
great.
90s,
yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
It will speak somewhere to you. You won't be able to fight the urge to like this movie.
You know, and listen, we all know how Sean works, right? Sean is what he is. He's always Scottish, even if, like in this movie, he's Russian. No, he's not American.
He's supposed to be Russian. I actually got far enough into that movie. I got far enough into that movie to see the point where they switch over from Russian to English dialogue,
yeah.
And they do pretty much the Valkyrie thing.
No, they don't.
They do.
No, they don't. Not in this movie. The only Russian that I think is spoken in this movie is when they're singing. And that's not changing languages. That's just them singing their national anthem.
I'm promising you, because I saw that much of the movie, it happens.
I don't know. Alright, hear what? It's been a long time, so I will give you the benefit of the doubt.
My co-workers are getting annoyed that I do that shit. But every time someone says something, I start to do a 90s song about it.
Timberlake. But yeah. So I will be watching that movie, and your ass is on notice.
Okay. Are we putting bets on this one?
No, we're not.
Okay.
Listen, Douglas's memory is not known to be good. And yes, Douglas speaks in the third person about Douglas.
Douglas is Van Hal.
Has no winner match yet.
He's lost one match though. So
I know.
Internet is.
I know, the internet is crazy.
Yes.
Mostly Jamaica though. That's really where it is.
No.
I saw the day where I saw it, and they did a great thing. They did the before and the after. It was fantastic. The before, everybody was, and then the after, everybody was. Oh wow!
So my number two movie, I hope to dear God I'm stealing this from Douglas because I'd feel good about it. Is one of his favorites, which I didn't like at first, but I've slowly creeped on.
That's not necessarily a list. That is an audible possibility for me. But yeah, keep going.
It is Wes Anderson's The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. Guys, Wes Anderson is perfect. Like, I thought he was a crazy man many years ago. But something happened. It was around the same time Damien had this... Fantastic Mr. Fox. And as I go back to these movies, I love them more and more.
It was a little bit before that, wasn't it?
I need to watch that movie again.
That was like 2005.
No, this movie was before it.
Yeah.
But I'm saying this is me coming back to them.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay.
I thought he was a crazy person. No, I don't.
No, he's a crazy
person.
Oh, no,
I'm just... 100%.
He's just more my crazy.
Exactly. He is your crazy. You're on the same crazy wavelength.
And there is a point where they go down in a submarine to see a polka dot shark.
Yeah.
And it's kind of amazing. And everyone will always love Wes Anderson's favorite shot in that movie when they have a cutout down the middle shot of the ship where they're showing you all of the aspects of it and everyone is doing stuff. And it is fantastic. I love this movie. Yes, I'm no longer talking about bad movies, guys. We're into the good movie section. Yeah.
This is my final one, I'm assuming.
You assume correctly.
I'm going to pick the best movie that's ever been on a submarine, and it is Das Boot.
Das Boot?
Just pick the obvious.
Okay.
Obvious one. If it is on cable, and there is no commercials, I'm still not going to watch it because I don't watch cable. Let's be serious.
If it's on cable and it has commercials, you'll be sitting down for a long time.
If... Oh, Lord.
It'll be around 3 days before it's over.
I'd love to see this movie on TNT. TNT has to have this shit wrapped up in 2 hours. And there's like commercials.
That is not true. Because they played Scarface and that was a full 5 hours.
I remember they used to play the Lord of the Rings movies. And
they still do.
We used to laugh as they cut out just so much of that movie. Mm. They're like, guys, we have to hit 3 hours, and this movie is like 4 hours.
Don't you love those
we
moments?
We have to put in commercials
when they advertise distinctly that they're doing an uncut yeah. version of these movies.
Like, are you going to have commercials? I can't do this. That's like a full work day. I can't spend 8 hours watching TNT, guys. I can't do this. I know one of us doesn't like Das Boot. There's someone here.
Who, me? I still haven't watched that movie, so... yeah.
That one.
Yeah. I remember I was deathly sick.
I wasn't going to look him in the face because he's a bad person.
Well, that's why I thought you thought it was me, because you were looking directly and with a purpose. Mm-hmm. So you're like, I know somebody doesn't...
Right. I know somebody. In this room, doesn't
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, but okay, let me talk about my number
he's bad
one.
People.
And my number one with a bullet, back to Big Daddy Sean.
Big Daddy Sean.
Big Daddy Sean is, and I think this is probably.
Why is he Big Daddy?
He's just Big Daddy.
You don't
I mean,
want to know.
He is.
Where did he touch you?
Listen, well, first of all. No. Second of all. He is daddy to. Oh, that's interesting. He is daddy to Indiana Jones, right?
Please all right, just go, let
and
us.
If you think about it,
look,
if you think
look,
about it,
let's stop thinking.
He also
and you
is.
Tell us
he also is
the
villain to
Andrew. What is your pick?
Wow, I didn't think of that one. I don't really like that movie though.
Because it's bad.
Yeah, but no, the movie I was thinking was, and this is a stretch. Never Say Never Again.
Is it where the movie that popped into my head, I was trying to remember there was a submarine in it to allow it, was The Avengers.
The Avengers?
Yeah.
Yes, there is. Yes. I assume you're talking about Ray Fiennes and Uma Thurman,
Sean
right?
Carter.
Yeah.
And Big Daddy
and Sean Carter. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Andrew, that should be in
how
my list somewhere.
That
how is that?
Up extraordinary. Like,
I think that might have been the same year.
Was not the same year. I think Avengers is older than Extraordinary.
Let's not spend any time
talking
about Avengers.
But yeah, Never Say Never Again.
Slash Avengers.
slash every movie James Bond. I mean, Sean Connery has ever been in. Sean Connery is just the grandfather of cable submarines, I guess.
I saw somewhere online that someone said if they do another Expendables movie, they should bring back Sean Connery.
Is Sean Connery like match fit? In a sense, I have a feeling
are
because,
any of those people
because
match fit?
No, but because think about it, right? And I'm not talking
hold
about
on
even because he wouldn't be one of those guys fighting around because he can't. He in his old age, you saw it in his later movies. He couldn't do anything. He could barely walk. Right? No, there was I'm sure there is a reason Sean got up and said, "Listen, guys, I'm done. No more movies. I've been hamming it up for like 10 years now. I can't deal with this anymore." And he officially retired and he hasn't been back. I imagine that if we bring him back, he'll look like... He'll probably be the equivalent of... And this is kind of mean, but... Dick Clark. Dick Clark, for his last few years, still came back on and did the
New Year's
show. And... He was kind of a tragedy.
It's
kind of
sad.
Yeah,
it was just sad.
He was melting.
Because, and I'm not trying to make fun of him, but you know, when you heard him speak, he, clearly it was something that you know meant something to him, and he wanted to be a part of it, and that's great. But I feel like maybe that's where Sean Connery would go if he came back. You know, he's just not fit for air.
Google. Sean Connery, 2014.
Before we go further down this rabbit hole,
yeah.
Just take us away.
Yes, please. Thank you.
To my number one, to the future of submarine travel, to Star Trek. The 2009 Star Trek. Because if Star Trek is anything, it is a futuristic submarine movie. Right? It involves a vessel that takes us through worlds, takes us from world to world, and they have to spend 3 hours turning
the
it
last.
Left.
The last Star Trek movie that came out, they were actually underwater for a period, so I'll give you that. I'm not giving you the 2009 version. I'll make an exception for Into Darkness.
Into Darkness.
I'll make an exception for that. There's no way you don't get that one.
But that's basically what Star Trek is. It's a submarine in space. Guys, agree with me here. Right? If submarines could fly through space, it would be Star Trek.
And if my aunt had balls,
she'd be my uncle.
Alright, so for the sake of a happy podcast, let's say Into Darkness. Because it's underwater.
Yeah. Summer. Nice try.
Yeah, guys, Star Trek is probably the epitome of cable movies. Right? It's gone.
The internet didn't want to show you that.
I'll
have to put that stuff.
He looks okay. Do really have much else to say at this point, other than us staring at pictures of old ass James Bond.
There's Crimson Tide, as I said.
Yes. It's
terrible.
Yes.
I have
Disney's Atlantis.
I have Battleship on my list of things to talk about.
We said
because that's if there was a movie that I was willing to downgrade to cable viewing bullshit, it's Battleship. Peter Berg's Battleship. Guys, I think we need a current analysis of Peter Berg's Battleship.
Okay, so
no,
is there any point where, because I know Rihanna is in this movie, Rihanna comes out on deck. You know, there's water splashing around.
And she needs to get her
umbrella. Like,
if someone had a sense of humor right in that movie, that you hire Rihanna.
She doesn't ask for it. Someone else appears with an umbrella. To Sheila. No. She looks at it weirdly.
Water splashes and she just has an umbrella for some reason.
And then there's somebody with a stutter who's like, umbrella.
No, you don't even need to point at it. All you need is for water to be coming from somewhere. You don't even have to make sense. Right? She's walking along the roadside and someone splashes a perfectly dry road. What is coming at her? She just has an umbrella.
Her superpower is she always has an umbrella and she always knows when to open it to safeguard herself from water
that
on
is
her body.
Stupid. She probably has that in her contract that no one can do. Everyone, that's probably why she hasn't been in more movies, because everyone has written that joke. Can we get Rihanna for this?
I have an umbrella joke.
It's like, okay, we're making a Singing in the Rain remake. We need Rihanna.
No! I refuse. Some other songs. Rihanna, no, you have. No one cares that you have. So, Andrew, I think it's time you
give up.
Put that into what has been an hour and a half of absolute nuts.
So, as always, you can hear the podcast over at gbrandreviews.com. through iTunes or Stitcher. There's nothing else really to say. Damon is on Twitter at Damon_White.
Sure.
Losing his shit over Madden advertising.
God, that ad is
hilarious.
Incredible. Yes. Are we both talking about Dave Franco?
Yes.
I saw that ad like an hour before I saw that tweet. And I'm like,
that is the only good thing that little guy has been in.
Between
him
and Kevin Hart and Dave Franco.
Oh. I hate Kevin Hart, but that ad is bananas.
Perfect. That season is the reason my hand
touch your fist. Let it burn, David. Let it burn.
And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. But though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see.